It is Locked On Jazz for the 28th of April. What Woj says is what I've been saying for weeks. Well, maybe not weeks. We'll talk about some of the news that's out. Open Wheels National Racing in South Dakota. Hey, it's some sort of sports. The Jazz are the best team to never win a title. Is this a good title or a bad title? And the best games in franchise history. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan, and hopefully making it just a little bit better every day. That's what we're hoping to do, just make it a little bit better every day for you, give you a respite, a takeaway, a time to bring together, be a group, that kind of stuff. Thank you for everybody who's sending me the emails at dlock09@gmail.com for the Daily DeVars. What made you a Jazz fan? Great story about reminding you the great value of sports, something that brought your family together, yourself. Whatever it might be that you want to share along the way. I want to share one that today on my own level. Because it's so interesting when I do this analysis and I break this down. So it's my dad's influence on me. My dad and I obviously spent a huge amount of time in sports. I was an only child. And my dad was my little league coach. I grew up in the Bay Area. My dad worked in Utah. And he'd fly back every other week. He was in Utah. And then he'd fly back. And two things. One is he'd fly back and he was in the ski business. And he'd end up on planes with NBA teams. And he wouldn't have any paper because they're all flying commercials. So he would hand out Solitude ski maps and have them signed. So on my wall as a kid, I had Solitude ski resort maps with autographs from NBA teams that he had flown with all of the time. So I thought that kind of is one of my first memories. The other one, for those of you who listen to this show and kind of know my personality and what I'm about, is when I was a little league pitcher at like 10, 11, and 12 years old, my dad used to always tell me, this was in 1980, 81, 82, hits plus walks equals innings pitched. That's all you've got to do as a little league pitcher. Hits plus walks equals innings pitched. You'll be fine. And then the next thing he kind of taught me along the way was, hey, you're actually okay. You're half decent. So there's probably only two hitters in the lineup that are better than you. Maybe in some teams three, some teams one. Make sure you don't lose to that guy. So hits plus walks equals innings pitched. In other words, if you get the first two guys out and the third guy comes up, go ahead. If you have to walk him or you keep him in the ballpark, that's fine. Get the next guy out. Or figure out a way that if he gets a hit, then when you're doing 6, 7, 8 in the lineup and 9 in the lineup and those guys aren't as good, make sure you really are focused and you go get those 1, 2, 3 so that by the time you're done with an inning or 9 guys in the lineup, you might have allowed, you know, 2 hits and a walk and you've gotten 6 outs. Now you're off. So 2 hits, 1 hit, 1 walk and 7 outs, and now you're back online. Your 2 hits, you know, hits plus. Well, that turned out to be WHIP. That turned out to be the number that, like, we all use now. This was, you know, before Bill James Baseball, whatever that book was so great that I read later in life. And so anyway, you know, when you think about the analytical breakdowns that I do and all those, and every single one of them is to some extent a tribute to my dad. And, you know, that my dad, and I don't need a tribute to him. He's still with us. He's healthy. He's well. He's actually almost paying attention to social distancing and those things. It's for these Daily DeVar stories, I wanted to share mine. Like, you know, people always ask me, like, well, how did you end up, like, doing all this sports stuff and analytics and things like that? And the answer is that, like, you know, this is what every time we watched something in our house and did something, that it just wasn't as simple as watching Jose Canseco and Dave Henderson and Mark McGwire and Walt Weiss and those great baseball A's, Oakland A's teams. There was, you know, another level of analysis that was always going on whenever it happened. The other one that I would love for you guys to share, maybe a little bit the Daily DeVar out, but is a really good friend of mine, Chris Bischoff, who I've told you guys about a lot. He's this incredible person who has built this school in the Bay Area that's getting everyone their first time getting to college. Incredible. He and I used to play board games, Stratomatic, Status Pro, but we would like, first of all, I would do a pregame show and a postgame show, and I'd announce all the games while I was doing them. Now you officially think I'm crazy. And we would keep stats, and we actually would write up like a newsletter, like we were the reporters, and then we would print it out because we had a TRS-80 in 1980, which was like this big deal. It was like the Radio Shack computer. And we would print these newsletters out and give them to each other or mail them to each other, and you'd get them in the mail, and you'd read about the other ones. Like, we went to different schools, and then we'd see each other on the weekends to play our wiffle ball games. So anyway, those are the kind of things. Let's share it a little bit. I'm really excited for our best games of the year today. I'm going to take us all the way back to 1984, and it's a really fun kind of run-through of 1984. We're going to do that in just a second, and then also SB Nation named the Jazz the best team to never win a title, and I don't know what we should think about that. Let's get to the news items of the day here on Locked On Jazz. So Woj was on with Scott Van Pelt last night, and really, I had been saying this for about 2 weeks and didn't have any backing, and my feeling is that Woj does have backing, so it reiterated what I thought. I'm just kind of joking that I had been saying for weeks, not like I'm better than he is, but just deducing that the 2020-2021 season, next year's season, is as important in all of this planning for the NBA as anything else that's taking place. And so the chances of having fans in the crowd, which is what the NBA would want, and wanting that season to be as normal as possible, are increased by the later you start that next season. In other words, the 2020-2021 season, if it were to start a day earlier than December like 18th, I'd be stunned. Christmas is a Friday, the 25th. Maybe the 14th, but somewhere in that realm. Because the best chance of the NBA having the 2020-21 season have some normalcy is to do that. And Woj pretty much alludes to that with SVP last night on ESPN. And as I've said before, what that allows us to do, there's two things here. One is that allows us, that's important. Two is there's a huge movement inside the NBA that the NBA, the people that actually want to start here. If you go before COVID had totally broken out, on March 5th, a paper is presented at Sloan Conference in Boston by one of the owners of the Atlanta Hawks about starting the NBA schedule in December. That's not a coincidence. An owner of an NBA team is not putting a paper at the Sloan Conference that's going to get publicity without, one, having it approved, and two, having it thought out. Right? Let's just be clear about that. So, as we look at that, and we break that, we look at that concept, this is the best case scenario for 2020-2021 season. And it's not one that the league hates. So, what that does is, and Woj, and I had said this before, Woj had been reporting like, oh, they don't want to go past Labor Day. I was like, that's bullcrap. They don't want to go past Labor Day, but they're going to go past Labor Day in a second to save $1 billion. So I really believe that we're not starting camp any earlier than November 30th. So back that up. Worst case scenario, if the players need 8 weeks, we can end the season the weekend of October 3rd and 4th. They go home on the 5th, and they come back 8 weeks later on November 30th. Regularly, they get 12 weeks, but this is not normal. So to Woj's point about that, I really stay incredibly optimistic that we're going to have basketball again this year. And I'm even more optimistic. I just think it's going to be, you know, June, July. And so That's the hopefulness on it. I know Joe Ingles was less than optimistic, and Scott Van Pelt sounded less than optimistic. Like I get the idea that, hey, every day another week goes by, it's another week that goes by, and we'd only have so long, but I got it, right? Like, we're going to be into May here pretty soon, and if we're not, like, suddenly back into practicing by the middle of June, like, it's going to get tough. But that's 6 weeks. 7 weeks. So I'm finding myself optimistic. Maybe I'm up at night. Maybe that's what keeps me going right now. But that I wanted to give you that understanding, that thought on that. I've got some other quick thoughts on what the May 8th date was, and then I'm really excited to take you back to the best game in Jazz history, best games in Jazz history, and in a few weeks we're actually gonna really dig into 84 again. So I don't want to blow it. But we're gonna do this time machine fun thing coming up on the program. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Murdoch Hyundai is doing outstanding things for everyone. The Sonata and the Tucson have deals that, well, quite honestly, are making it so that, like, we're trying to figure out when we're going to go down there and look at buying a car. I've said this before. We just haven't done it yet. We're trying to figure out all the pieces of the puzzle and get some things taken care of on our end. So I'm not lingering out a longer story than's actually true. We haven't gotten to it. Here's what they're doing. Murdoch, first off, first responders, in appreciation to everything you're doing, Murdoch Hyundai is giving you $500 bonus toward purchase or lease. Second thing, the Murdoch Serv program. Transparent, convenient, and wow. Come in or let us bring a test drive to you. Find your car. Do it all online. And they'll bring the car to you. Two, Hyundai Assurance will cover your payments for 6 months if you lose your job and defers your payment for 4 months on a new car. Like, that's the part that's unbelievable to me. Here's the 2020. This is what we're looking at. 2020 Tucson or Elantra. We're going to look at Tucson because we need four-wheel drive. 0% APR for 84 months and no payments for 4 months. It's like incredible. Plus, you get the Hyundai compliance maintenance, $36,000 for 3 years. It's great. So it's all going on at Murdoch Hyundai. Service customers, by the way, you can request complimentary pickup and drop-off service for your safety and convenience. So they're doing amazing things. Amazing, amazing things right now. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai. 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. The NBA news of the day was the teams opening up the gyms by May 8th, and then all the rules that went on it. Here's, again, I have not talked to anybody. I'm not, like, in the loop right now. If you're looking for insider information, you're probably not getting it from me right now. Sorry. With that said, here's my take on that. I think what's going on with that, more than anything else, is that the league doesn't want players with the stay-at-home being lifted places going to gyms. They would like to get the league off. They need to try to keep guys from testing positive, and they'd like to limit contacts of their players. Therefore, they are trying to open up the gym so the players will go to our own facilities that are cleaned, are maintained, and have fewer contacts, and are hopefully then staying healthy, rather than, because a bunch of players aren't in their hometowns, go into the local gym. And that's the concept there. It's not, I hate to say this as much as I was optimistic earlier, it's not some precursor to, like, oh my gosh, we're almost on underway. No, it's really not. Sorry. I don't think that's true. By the way, I want to congratulate our NFL channel on the Locked On Podcast Network. They had the largest week last week ever in the history of the network. Unbelievable numbers. Almost 1 million listens just in that week for the NFL draft coverage, which was just amazing. So thank you to all those hosts and congratulations to them on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right. Greatest games in Jazz history. 1984, April 26th. So the Jazz are just 5 years old in franchise history. Let me back up the setting a little bit for you. I don't want to ruin too much because we're going to do this thing where we go back in the time machine in years to come. And later, and I'm excited for it. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. So the Jazz jump from in the 82-83 season. The Jazz win just 30 games. At the time, it was the most games the Jazz had ever won in franchise history. They had been in Utah for four seasons. They'd won 24, 28, 25, and 30. But they were fifth out of six in the 82-83 season in their division. So they weren't like necessarily a good team. Dallas won more. Kansas City Kings, Denver Nuggets, San Antonio Spurs. The Rockets were awful. The Rockets were 14-68. This is Moses Malone MVP year. In 83-84, the Jazz jump and win the division, which is an incredible accomplishment. And because they win the division, they get the two seed, 45-37. They get the two seed. And, you know, when you look at the Jazz that year, it's Thurl Bailey's rookie year. Mark Eaton's in his second year. Bobby Hansen's a rookie. Adrian Dantley is the man. AD averages, it's one of the great, we'll have to go back. We'll do an old pack. One of our listeners a while back did the old pack, so points gained, and did an amazing work for that on us. And was super impressive going back through old seasons. And we'll do an old season look at points gained for everyone. It's kind of a cool concept coming up here. But in the meantime, when we look at all of it, Adrian Dantley's 83-84 season is one of the greats of all time. He shoots 56% from the field. He takes 12 free throws a game at 86%. He scores 31 points a game. He actually has four assists. Ricky Green's the point guard. Golden Griff starts 82 games. The starting lineup for the season predominantly is AD, is Ricky Green, Daryl Griffith, Adrian Dantley at a 6'4 power forward, basically 6'5. Thurl plays, and Mark Eaton. Rich Kelly starts as well. So we're actually playing the Twin Towers with two Twin Towers. We're pretty healthy, and we win the division. And it's a huge turnaround from 30 wins to winning the division. And we could probably go back and find the game April 12th against the San Diego Clippers when they clinched the division the night before they've won in Las Vegas. Just to give you a kind of concept, the Jazz are playing in Las Vegas. But the game that I want to choose as one of the great wins of Jazz history is their first ever playoff series win. A five-game series against the seventh-seed Denver Nuggets, who were below 500. But the Jazz won game one, lost game two of the series. Game three, they lose. So they're down two games to one. I probably could have chosen game four in Denver at the old McNichols Arena, where the Jazz stunned the Nuggets, outscoring the Nuggets by eight in the fourth quarter after trailing by three. Adrian Dantley had 39 points, eight rebounds, seven assists, two steals, 15 of 15 from the line. Big T had 17. Ricky Green had 17. Golden Griff had 26. As the Jazz stunned a Denver Nuggets team, this is going to take you back a little bit, that was T.R. Dunn, Alex English, Kiki Vandeweghe, Rob Williams, who I don't remember. It's the only name in that group I don't remember. I guess he was their 6'2 point guard. And Dan Issel. So it was Williams, English, T.R. Dunn, Kiki Vandeweghe, Dan Issel, Bill Hanslick, Mike Evans. Danny Shays was then on the Nuggets coming off the bench. So the Jazz, we actually probably should choose this game four as one of the great wins of all time. But I'm going game five, back of the Salt Palace. The Jazz thump the Nuggets. The Jazz are the better team. They were better all season. Denver was below 500. The Jazz score go up by 14 at the end of one. It gets a little close, and they thump him in the fourth quarter. Ricky Green, the fastest of them all, 29 points and 16 assists for the Frank Layden coach team. Adrian Dantley, another amazing game, had 30 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists. He did turn it over 7 times. The Jazz goes, Mark Eaton doesn't play much. Rich Kelly does most of the center work. And Big T Thurl Bailey had 10 points in that game as well. Golden Griff had 24. He hits three threes. There were actually like 21 threes taken that game, which is a lot. But that was the first ever Jazz playoff win. They advance. These AD, who I just don't think we remember how great he was, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Unbelievable. Ricky Green, 20 points, 10 assists for the series. That's why Stockton didn't start right away. And then Golden Griff, pre-knee injuries, at his prime, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, carries the Jazz to the win. Other first-round series, by the way, Dallas beat the Sonics that year. Dallas was led by Mark Aguirre, Rolando Blackman, and Jay Vincent, just to give you a little flashback. Lakers sweep the Blazers. Sweeps the Kansas City Kings. That's Kareem and Magic and Worthy and their greatness. The Kings are Eddie Johnson and Mike Woodson. Phoenix beats the Blazers in 5 that year as well, and the Jazz would go on to play Phoenix, who's the 6th seed, and the Jazz were now favored after this upset to win the next series, and they wouldn't do it. Phoenix was Walter Davis, Maurice Lucas, James Edwards, and Portland was Jim Paxson, Calvin Natt, and Darnell Valentine. Clyde Drexler was a 21-year-old rookie coming off the bench who wasn't giving them much at that point in time. Disappointing next series, so we don't need to get into that. The Jazz, as the 2 seed, would not be able to take advantage of the upstart Phoenix Suns and would lose that series 4-2, despite having home court advantage. Frank Layden's crew would lose the 2nd game at home in that series when Walter Davis had 28, and they would then fall. They'd lose all 3 games in Phoenix and lose it. All right, that is our best game in Jazz history. Jazz win Game 5 against the Denver Nuggets. Tony Park sent me a list the other day. He's amazing, with a million games to be talked about. Father's Day is around the corner. Grip 6, people. Remember our good friends at Grip 6? I actually have a brand new Grip 6 belt all set for Quinn Snyder that arrived the day we got back from Oklahoma City, and I have never been able to actually get it to him. How crazy is that? I guess I could use the mail and send it to him. I just didn't really realize we weren't going to see each other for this long. Anyway, there's all sorts of really interesting things going on in Grip 6. So let me walk through some of them for you. They have the new Ultralight series. It mimics a traditional buckle, very minimalist, little pilgrimy, cool, a bunch of different things. So if you don't remember Grip 6, let me remind you, Grip 6 is really, really cool because Grip 6 has no holes, no flaps, no bulk. You take the belt, it's patented, you slip the belt underneath the buckle, and you have no flaps, no holes, mid-weight straps, new straps, they hold beautifully. Go to grip6.com and check it out. They also have the Naturalist series, which brings you a whole natural landscape to your belt buckle. They have the Wasatch, the Uinta. And the special deal right now is a 2-pack discount, 2 buckles, 2 straps. You know what that means? Since you can interplay the buckles and the straps, that's 4 belts. Really cool. The new red strap is really, really cool. They have a new work belt as well. It's a comfortable belt for tools. Also great for concealed carry. Larger buckles, larger strap. If you're looking for a concealed carry belt that works with your existing Grip 6 belts, this mid-weight strap is the option for you. They have the beautiful Mountain Series, Half Dome, Grand Teton, the Cascades as your buckles. It's all interchangeable. Go to grip6.com. No loops, no flaps, no bulk, mid-weight straps. If you're a little bigger, huge ups from everyone on Grip 6 that has used, a little heavier that used Grip 6. They've been absolutely fine. And make sure to check out to tell them that Locked On Jazz sent you. Go to grip6.com, GRIP6.com. Great Father's Day gifts, made in Utah, made in the U.S., so they don't have any supply chain problems right now. They've done amazing work. It's all at Grip 6. The other day I was with my son, and we were skinning, which is you put stuff on the bottom of your skis and you hike up the mountain. He blew way away from me. excuse me, he blew way away from me and I needed to do something. So I flipped to my Blinkist app. And I, in about 15 minutes, got an entire Daniel Pink book. It's really cool. Blinkist is one of the most useful apps out there. It's one of the all-time life hacks. What it is, it's hard to sit down and read a whole entire book, but Blinkist is unique because it works on your phone, your tablet, your web browser. It takes the best and key need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses it down to 15 minutes. Successful people, business leaders, well-known, read a lot of books. Blinkist is made for business, busy people like you that want to give you the main books of the book, points of the book quickly. So I listened to Daniel Pink, and what did I get out of it? Like, one, how you motivate a staff, what you're doing with it. I listened to Drive and talked a lot of things. It was really helpful for the Lockdown Podcast Network because we're managing this entire staff through this difficult time. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. Check it out. Blinkist.com. We've got a special deal for you as well right now on Blinkist that will give you discounts. So here's what you do. Go to Blinkist.com for 7 days. Try it for free and get $25 off if you go to Blinkist.com/NBA. That's Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/NBA to start your 7-day free trial. Also, 25% off once you sign up. That's Blinkist.com/NBA. I really loved, well, my son was so far away from me, I couldn't talk to him. So I got valuable time in. All right, we'll talk about this more tomorrow on the show, but what do we think about that the Utah Jazz, they took the 96-97 team, not the 97-98 team, and named it the greatest team ever to not win a title by SB Nation. Mike Pina did a great job. They furloughed him, which is too bad, so take a moment if you get a chance and send him a note on and send him your best. The Jazz, they put a bracket together. The Jazz in the first round rolled, and they played the 17-18 Rockets in the Western Conference Finals, which is interesting to me because that 17-18 Rockets team, I actually think, is maybe the greatest team to never win a title. That's all. I mean, they were great. They ran into the Warriors, who were arguably the greatest, one of the great teams of all time. No different than the Jazz running into the Bulls, arguably one of the great teams of all time. And they simulated it, and the Jazz roasted the Rockets in five. Mailman was just too much for them to handle. The next round was the Jazz played the 0-1-0-2 Kings. I'm not sure I put them at the same quality. They were great, had a super home court advantage. I think that Rockets team is a better team. But the 0-1-0-2 Kings, they had Weber and Bibby and Christie and Divac, played a super style, great coach in Rick Adelman. Jazz blasted them in five, and then the Jazz got, you know, an Eastern Conference patsy in the finals as they played the 94-95 Magic and won that one. That was a fan vote, so nice job, everybody. They won it in 61% of the vote. So pretty interesting kind of breakdown, fun little thing by SB Nation. Thank you very much to them for doing the work on that. It's an interesting, you know, is that, I think there's no question when you look at, so what Pina did is he looked at the one franchise season. The one thing I would say on this is the Jazz run from, you know, the collection of talent the Jazz had of three conference finals starting in 91-92, which we did the feature on. Five conference finals in 7 years, or four conference finals in 7 years. 6 years, right? No. Five and seven. Two NBA finals trips to never win a title. That stretch, I think, is pretty comfortably the best stretch of any team ever to not win a title. Now, are they the best team to never win a title? That's hard for me. Honestly, that 17-18 Rockets team, who they beat in this, would have been one of the top teams I put on the list. They were 65-17. They were the number one offensive team in the league. They were the number 6th ranked defensive team in the league. They had the best record in the NBA. They were dominant in the playoff series. I mean, they blasted the Timberwolves, blasted us. They lost to the Warriors in seven due to an injury. And 20 million missed threes in a row. Right? But Chris Paul doesn't play all seven games of that series. The Jazz didn't really have that injury along the way on that single season where they're missing a piece. Paul was averaging 20.7 rebounds, 5 assists a game, 2 steals. If I had to choose a single team that didn't win a title, that's the best team to win a title, I got to be honest, I think that 17-18 Rockets team to me makes a pretty strong claim. One, because of what they did in the season. And two, because of the injury. Now, the 64-win Jazz team, which they chose, was the number 2 offense, number 9 defense. Had the second best expected win total. Dominant as well, right? Swept the Clippers, blew out the Lakers, beat the Rockets in 6. They lose to the Bulls in 7. They don't have that injury moment. Or they lose to the Bulls in 6, sorry. It's a good argument. I don't think there's any question that I think there's an argument the Rockets are actually better than the Warrior team they lost to. I don't think there's an argument that the Jazz were better than that 69-win Bulls team. So I love the fact that the Jazz won this, because I think it's the respect that that team deserves. And I think that the respect that that team deserves is really based on a run of period of time. And that to me is what they've earned, is that respect to be known as that team. That is Locked On Jazz today. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll continue the series on best Jazz wins of all time. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thank you for still being a part of the program. This is the loyal crew that's with us, and I certainly appreciate it. This is Locked On Jazz Tuesday. Chad Ford's big board is out, so take a listen. Tell your smart device to listen to the most recent episode of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board. Have a great one. See you.